Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and our guest this evening is David Kirby. He's written a fascinating book called Evidence of Harm. It's the story of the vaccination problem, the question, does thimerosal that has been placed in childhood vaccines for really many decades and supposedly was taken out on the in 1999, but really was in the vaccines well until 2002 and 2003 and still remains in many adult vaccines, including the vaccines that are given to six-month-old children. Is the thimerosal that is in those vaccines harmful? And as we look and see what's happening in our society today, according to CDC statistics, one in six children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality and or behavioral abnormality, but the government assures us we don't know why this is happening, but we can assure you it has nothing to do with the thimerosal. Certainly the incidence of so many diseases are increasing in our children. And the government has no idea why that's happening, but they assure us it has nothing to do with the vaccines. And the question is, are we being told the truth? And that, of course, is what this book is all about. David Kirby, thank you so very much for being with us again tonight.
It's my pleasure to be here. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. For our listeners who don't know who you are, could you just give us a little of your background and how it was that you got involved in researching the background of thimerosal in vaccinations?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I'm a freelance journalist. I've been at this for about 15 years. I've written several years as a contributor to the New York Times, and this is my first book. I first got interested in this in November of 2002 when Congress passed the Homeland Security Bill, and I found out shortly after that this sort of secret rider had been placed into that bill that would have dismissed all civil lawsuits against Eli Lilly and vaccine makers for having put this substance, thimerosal, into vaccines given to children in this country and possibly triggering not only autism but a variety of neurodevelopmental disorders. I was surprised by many things. I was surprised that somebody could just slip something in at the last minute of a bill in a democratic society. I was surprised that there was mercury in vaccines, and I was surprised to find out that people were associating it or alleging that it might have a connection with autism. I certainly knew nothing about autism. I have no connection to the disorder whatsoever. I just thought it was a really interesting story.
Well, I think it is a fascinating story. And, of course, the thing is that mercury is such a toxic substance. I mean, it's one of the most toxic substances known to mankind. So why would they put that into childhood vaccines?
Well, they put it into all kinds of vaccines, and as you said, they still do, given to adults, and even a few vaccines occasionally given to children in this country, and, of course, the flu shot. It's used, the mercury is used for two purposes. First, to maintain sterility in the production line so that when they are actually making the solution for the vaccine, no harmful bacteria gets in there, or if it does, the thimerosal, theoretically at least, will prevent that bacteria from growing. And then after it's put into 10-dose vials, it's used to preserve the vaccine so that it doesn't become contaminated by needles going up through the rubber seal.
All right. Well, of course, I practiced medicine for 35 years or more, and close to 40 years, and I used many multiple vial vaccines and injections of all sorts, and I do not believe during that time I ever infected anybody, but anyway, that's the explanation that's given, and the question is it accurate? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is David Kirby, and he was explaining to us why, theoretically, they insist on putting the thimerosal in the vaccines and have for many years, saying that they're concerned about sterility, and if there's thimerosal in there, why, of course, you can't get contamination. But is that really true? Is thimerosal a very good bactericidal agent?
Actually, it's not, believe it or not, in addition to being neurotoxic. For example, in a paper published way back in 1982 by a FDA panel, they found that it's not very good. It's considered to be bacteriostatic, not bactericidal.
Now, could you explain the difference for us?
Sure. A bactericide will kill bacteria on contact, whereas a bacteriostat will basically just prevent the bacteria from reproducing, from growing and spreading. But it won't necessarily kill it outright. And with thimerosal, in fact, with all kinds of mercury, there are some types of bacteria that are quite resistant to mercury. Streptococcus is one, and another one called Serratia is also known to be very resistant to mercury. And as a matter of fact, if you buy, say, contact lens solutions that still contain thimerosal, which some do, it will stay right on the label, does not protect against Serratia infection. That FDA panel, excuse me, back in 1982, found that thimerosal was about 13 times more toxic to chick cell heart cells than it was to streptococcus bacteria. And, of course, with the Chiron flu shot that was produced last year and pulled at the last minute, they found that that had been contaminated in the factory with Serratia bacteria, even though the solution had been treated with thimerosal. And even though there was thimerosal in the finished product, this bacteria still managed to get in there and still managed to become serious enough that they had to pull 45 million doses off the shelf, creating somewhat of a panic in this country because of the shortage.
And so, it was interesting that we actually had less influenza when we didn't have the flu shot last year than we ordinarily have when we do have the flu shot. So we have to sort of question how effective the influenza flu shot really is as far as preventing influenza.
Well, that's true. That's probably another book that I'm probably not going to write. But, yeah, it does depend on the severity of the flu season. So, but there is some evidence to suggest, in particular the people that's most highly recommended for small children and older patients, it might not be that as effective as one would like. And of course, the way that flu shot is made is they try to determine what the three most virulent strains will
hold
be.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment, please.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is David Kirby, and David is saying that certainly they had found that the thimerosal, which they'd put into the vaccines, ostensibly to produce sterility and to be a bacteriostatic agent, really wasn't that good, especially with certain types of streptococcus and the Serratia type of infections. But nonetheless, they insisted on putting it in anyway. Of course, we were talking then about the influenza shots that were given last year, why they did not give the influenza shot, because a Serratia had actually contaminated the influenza vaccine. And interestingly enough, why there was less influenza last year than we had the influenza shots given widely. And of course, was that a normal variation? What we do know, as David had brought out, that the influenza shots, you know, really as far as the elderly, who they're supposed to help, and the very young are supposed to help, they really don't, because they don't have a developed immune system, and our young children and our elderly people don't have the normal immune response, so they don't get a decent response, and yet those
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you. Thank you.
Drink.